I want to go ahead and read this scripture to you before I get started. And it was something somebody had said. I can't exactly remember who it was, but it brought the scripture to my mind. It says, when the enemy comes in, shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift and stand against him. We've got, amen, the Spirit of the Lord on our side. If you're a Christian, amen, and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of the Lord is on your side. But it takes us, and it is not easy to do, but it takes us realizing that He is there, willing and just waiting on us to acknowledge Him. We can find stories about the Bible of, His disciples, for instance. They were trying to cast a demon out of this young child, and Christ came to him and said, you know, what's going on here? You've got the answer. Why aren't you using it? Sometimes, you know, these things don't happen without prayer and fasting. But it takes us realizing that we have the formula, amen, that's going to fix the issue or give us the answer that we need. That's for free tonight. I know Pastor's already started the recording. My time has already started. Amen. I have been cheated. Amen. No, I'm teasing. Amen. If you would stand with me tonight. Amen. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1. And whenever you have it, amen. Say amen. All right, most of you are there. Amen. When you get a chance, give me some water. Amen. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1. And it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. We're going to skip over to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. And it says, oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, tell him there's nothing too hard for God. All right. Now that you've said it, you've just got to believe it. Because it's easy to say something. A lot of times it's hard to follow up on it. Because it's easy. I can say, man, we can get together. Amen. I can get Brother Larry. Amen. Pastor and all the different men in the church. And I can say, hey, we're going to get together and we're going to completely redo something. But without a plan and without, amen, strategic placements of every individual in their proper place, it won't be accomplished in a timely manner. Unless you're demoing something. If you're building something, it takes precision. Or else it's not done correctly. But I said all that to say this. We've got to realize that God has a plan. And He's got a purpose that He wants to work in each and every one of our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here this evening. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity, God, to come into Your house. God, to hear Your word. God, to be able to sing Your praises. God, I pray that You'd work in each and every one of our hearts, direct and guide us. God, give us strength, God, for our souls. Lord, I pray that You'd draw each and every one of us around these altars here tonight, God, that we might have a life-changing experience. God, that we might leave here different than we came. God, that we might have the encouragement, God, that You have, Lord, that You have a desire to see placed in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that You'd work and move. In Your name we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated here tonight. Amen. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. And there in the latter part of Jeremiah 32 and 17, and it says, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know, in order for there to be, and I already said this, I'm going to reiterate it again, but in order for there to be an answer, there first of all has to be a problem. I want to preach to us just for a little bit here tonight. Amen. On this simple thought, get ready for victory. In order for there to be victory, first of all, there has to be a battle. How many likes a battle? Yeah, it's okay if it's a battle of darts, right? I got a couple. We're studying dart and cookies right now. So moms, cabbage on to your little cook. Try and teach them not to burn stuff. Oh, that way they could be a help. Yeah, I like cooking breakfast. Lindsay says, when? I know. Go ahead and laugh. Let's go ahead and get a good laugh here before we get serious. Amen. Amen. But we was in here playing the other day and last Sunday, and the boys were battling against each other and who was going to win. You know, and they're throwing their darts, trying to get it in the board. You know, there's only so much of the board that's available. Then there's the outside of the board. You hit the outside of the board and it sticks there, but you don't get any points. Even if you hit the number, it doesn't count unless it's inside that bullseye circle. Well, these boys were going after it and going after it. And they started playing. It was like Around the World or what was it called, Titus? Around the Clock. You got to go after certain numbers. And these boys, I tell you, could hit every number but the one they were after. I mean, I can't tell you how many bullseyes these boys got. But they after number one, and they couldn't get it. And get number two. And get number five. Get number 20. And get number 18. Couldn't get number one. They were in a battle to see who could get there first. So what I ended up having to do, and it's all the way to 25. I said, first one to eight wins. Had an adjustment in the rules. Because the game had been going quite lengthy. Then we changed it to a different game where it was a matter of points. And they really liked that because it was, you know, who could get the most points. And they couldn't even get it, you know, in the points they were getting earlier. There was no bullseyes. There was no high numbers. It was one and it was two and it was three. But they were in a battle. They were wanting a victory. Ever here in our great country that we live in, we go up against another nation that is causing problems, and we set a battle in array. There are battle plans that are laid out strategically. They're laid out so that we might have an opportunity at victory. Now, whenever we have a problem and a struggle in our life, it is important that we realize that it is a battle. It is a spiritual and a physical battle that we have to deal with. There's no way around it. There's no pill that you can take that fast forward you past the involvement, amen, and the struggle that's going to be there. Amen. But I'm here to tell us tonight that we have got to begin to get our minds and our body prepared for victory. Those troops and those men and women, when they're laying all that out, they're already planning, if we get this accomplished, we're going to have victory. There's going to be a celebration. When we have an election of any of our officials, the moment that they begin to plan their campaign, what's the next thing they start to plan? They begin to plan their victory party. All of them, before they even win, every single one of them have plans for a victory party. So I'm saying all this so that we can begin to wrap our minds around it. We have got to begin to plan for it. If you do not get ready for it, you do not have preparation for it, it will never come. We can simply live, amen, our life and saying, well, one of these days it might happen. One of these days I might finally get past this. But it is up to us, amen, as individuals, amen, to begin to grab a hold, amen, of the battle plans, set them in array, amen, and begin to look forward towards victory, because then we can begin to keep looking back at the past, and it will only result in the same, amen, the same problem, the same situation, because we're looking at something that we've already fought. arrangement. Amen. I was extremely challenged during song service here tonight. Sister Sarah was leading worship, and I looked out there and I seen little London, and she was just giving it all she had. You know, in Psalms 150, it says in there to praise Him with timbrel and dance. It says praise Him on the string instruments, on the brass. Amen. Brother Cisneros playing that trumpet, that horn. And Brother Jason when he plays the saxophone. I sure missed him tonight. Amen. I hope he's up there watching. He's probably in his PJs. Amen. But I begin to think about that. And I've really felt, I'll be honest with you, church, I felt like I was being outdone. Because she was giving it all she had. She was giving the joy that was inside of her. She couldn't contain it. She had to move. She had to give forth some kind of emotion. She was preparing herself, amen, for what was going on. But a lot of times, amen, we just go through the motion. She wasn't going through the motion. She was going with what she was feeling. If we could begin to tap in to the things that we are feeling and begin to express them in the house of God. When we're feeling sadness, there's nothing wrong with being sad. You can experience and you can pour out your sadness in the house of God. This is your sanctuary. Amen. We can find where the men and women in the Word of God, amen, had had hardship, amen, had pain, amen, and had situations that went on, that they went to the house of God and began to dump their heart, amen, and the sadness that they were in. We find them later in joy. We find them, amen, begin to lift up the name of Jesus, amen, and thanking Him for what He has done. Amen. They had to go through the pain to experience the joy. We've got to have, amen, a desire, amen. Amen. I begin to plan for victory in our lives. Without a plan, nothing will ever happen. You can live as some men and women in this world do, say, I'm just going to fly off and live by the seat of my pants. But the thing of it is, when at the end of the day, end of the road, that's all they got left. Because they stepped out and had no plan. Amen. I've already been preaching. I even got to my main set of scriptures here tonight. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse number 8. I'm going to read a few verses here. The king of Syria warred against Israel. Notice the first problem here. He was warring against God's people. Who are we? Who are you, Brother Matthew? Brother Matthew, who do you belong to? Are you sure about that? You know, we have to make a choice every day that we wake up. Who we're going to belong to in that day. Because we can get up and we can leave church tonight and say, man, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and heaven bound. Come Monday morning, we roll out of bed and we don't submit ourselves to Jesus Christ in that moment. We're living that day for ourselves. It's important. Amen. I know I'm preaching close to my toes up here. Don't know about yours. Amen. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with servants. Such in such and such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there. Not once nor twice. Verse number 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel thy words that thou speakest in thy chamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, that they came by night and compassed the city about. I mean, I'm going to stop right there for just one moment. A lot of times the devil, amen, he knows exactly where you're at. He knows, hey, going through some troubles. Lord's wanting to do something in their life. Let me send a little hindering, stumbling block, some hindrance. I'm going to send this old army. They're going to go down there and they're going to circle the man of God in his place. Let's not just circle the man of God. Let's circle the whole city. We see that's what's happened right here. King of Syria had a plan. But he was planning for the wrong side of the team, if I can put it that way here tonight. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what are we going to do? How are we going to escape this one? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Think about that for a minute. Fear not, for they that be with us, amen, with us here tonight, amen, are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Get ready for victory. These men were men of war. And they were all smitten with blindness. How many's ever been in a position where you could not see? Didn't have flashlight or had one, went dead? How many's ever been smitten with blindness for a moment? No, real, like where you don't see nothing. Just nothing. I got hit in the head once really, really hard. Not yesterday. Not chair. I walked into something. I was running and I hit myself and I thought, Brother Larry, for a moment, I was never going to see again. That is a scary, scary situation. Because I hit my heart. I didn't see stars. I didn't see nothing. It was just wham, couldn't see. Closing your eyelids isn't even close compared to what it felt like. It was only for a few moments, but seemed like eternity. What seemed like for a few seconds, Brother Matthew, felt like it was hours. And I hit myself and I'm feeling around. I grab a hold of something and I'm just there. I don't know what's happening, what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden I start to be able to see again. Stuff stopped being fuzzy. Kind of got tunnel vision for a moment. Probably could have suffered from a concussion. Probably did and didn't realize it. You got to realize I'm about 14 years old when this happened. I didn't tell nobody. I was like, man, if I tell mom and dad, they're going to haul me off to the hospital. They're going to stick me in one of them tubes where they run a scan on me. Just had a huge knot, Brother Matthew, and a black eye. A big black eye. And everybody's, what happened to you? Ran into something. And I left it at that. that black eye for a while. It didn't go away overnight. I was like, I'll just wear a patch. But after that experience, Brother Larry, my eyes were opened. And I tell you, from that moment on, I really began to think about where I was going. If I didn't have a flashlight, I would wait and create the light. Carry a set of matches. I was going down into a cave, which we would do a little exploring from time to time. Just make sure you have matches, even if you got a flashlight, because batteries will go dead. What am I doing? I am preparing. Now, the boys, we worked on our cooking merit tonight. And what is it you had to do tonight, Titus? What did you have to work on?
Make a menu.
Make a menu. How many menus did you have to make?
Three.
All right. For how people?
Not six.
Okay. Man, they remembered. And on cue, they were making preparation for a kid. Or six people. They have to prepare nine different meals, and they had to pick out the foods that they would bring in order to cook these. Now, I don't know that I'd want to try their bacon or their eggs. I might let them bring them, and I might help them cook them. But we did all of that to teach them to begin to set plans in motion. Amen. I'm saying all this. What had happened here? Elisha was not fearful when the servant came and told him, hey, there's a host, chariot and horses, and men outside waiting. Amen. To take captive the city. They're here after us because of what you've been telling the king of Israel. Amen. They had, amen, the servant began to be frantic, began to worry about what was happening. But we find the man of God never skips a beat, never worries a moment, but instead he begins to explain to him, amen, that there is something, amen, there is someone, amen, that is for us. I'm here to tell you tonight, amen, when the enemy comes against us like a fire flood, amen, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. He will begin to prepare, amen, our victory in our time of trouble. Amen. But it takes us being willing. We find Paul and Silas when they're chained together down in a dungeon. They had been beaten. They'd been stuck down in this hole. Didn't know what they were going to do. But we find that they find themselves singing and praising God. We find Paul. Amen. When he found out he was going to be shipwrecked, instead of going around trying to frantically, we've got to change paths. What is it we find that he tells an angel that stood by me? This. We find Jesus Christ as he has made a pillow. Amen. In a boat. Amen. Floating across a stormy sea. The disciples come and try and shake him and wake him. The boat is full of water in which Jesus Christ is laying in. I think a lot of times we forget that. He's laying in the bottom of the boat. The boat's full of water. And he's still... Jesus Christ could walk on water. Maybe he was sleeping on the water. I don't know. I mean, but we find that the disciples are shaking. Hey, you not care if we perish? A lot of times I'm afraid we do the same thing with Jesus Christ and the Lord in our prayers. As we grab a hold of our altar and we are shaking him and saying, God, do you not care? The thing of it is, church, he does care. He has a plan to carry us through. But we've got to look for victory. If we don't look for victory, we'll never win. I remember there was a basketball team that I played when I was in high school. And this group of boys was from Fort Scott. And man, they were good. I mean, these guys have been playing together since they were like 9, 10 years old. And every one of them knew each other, what happened and everything before. It didn't even have to be said. And these guys were good. We had played them first year, and man, they just stomped a mud hole in us. We lost bad. I mean, bad. It was like 75 to 25. It was crazy, and we fought for those 25 points. Second year came around, it was time for us to play them. And our coach told us, he said, you guys have got to begin to think about winning and having that trophy of victory already in your hands. We get out there that second year and we get to playing and we are winning. Thinking, we got this, we're going to win. Then all of a sudden, they started getting the lead on us and we lost sight of victory. Sight of that trophy that we were going to win. The moment we lost sight of that is the moment we began to lose. I remember the third year we came and played them. We got third place the first year we played them. Second place that year we played them. We came back the third year. Last year, they were all graduating. We were all graduating. And we were going to win. We went into overtime. It was tied neck to neck. And we were playing hard. They were playing hard. But we wasn't about to give up. We had one thing in mind, and that was we were going to win if it was just by 1 point. And we did. We won by 2 points. But we won the game. Why did that happen? If we would have simply just got discouraged and said, man, there's some of us that had been elbowed accidentally. Ball bounced off your head. Bloody nose, and you're trying to stay focused. Easy to get heated, angry. But instead, we had to keep our head on the prize. Thinking about what it was going to gain us. We were going to finally be able to say, hey, we beat you guys. And we did. But that was only accomplished by every one of them young men that was on the team. That they had a desire to win. If you don't have a desire to win, you'll never win. Now watch these boys. These boys, I tell you, they like to win. They don't like to lose. There's a few of them that when they lose, they don't get very happy. We've had to sit down and talk about that a little bit. Can't be a sore loser. You've got to play to win next time. You can't play to win after the game's over. A lot of times we can be that way. We'll throw our fit. I wanted to win. But you didn't play to win from the beginning. Amen. Some of this stuff's free tonight. Just grab hold of it. Put it in your wallet and take it home with you. Amen. But we find in Elisha, after these men are all smitten with blindness, I'm going to kind of paraphrase the rest of this story. But he tells them, hey boys, follow me. He drags them all down to the city where the rest of the army was waiting. Gets them all down there and the blindness is lifted. And what do we find they do? They drop their sword. I surrender. We find the battle is won by simply that right there. All because there was one man that was praying for victory. If he would not have been listening to God and delivering the message to the king of Israel, they would have never won. Amen. You've got to begin to plan. Get ready for victory. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1 says, wherefore seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Amen. What's weighing you down? What's weighing you down, Timothy? What's keeping you from pressing towards the prize? It says, every weight and the sin, amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. What so easily sets you off a kelter that makes you fly off the handle? That makes you lose track of the goal? It says, lay it aside. Put it off. Amen. That's that reference where it says you've got to crucify that flesh. Daily. Daily. Do it, Timothy. Amen. Daily we've got to put that man down. Amen. We find that says that sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We find that we've got to look unto Jesus, the great endurer of hardship. He endured hardness as a good soldier. When the pressures of life came against him, it literally pushed great drops of blood out of his body, out of his pores. The sweat, as he was headed up, amen, and went to the cross. The pressures of life so great that a man by the name of Simon was dragged out into the street to carry this cross. When the pressures of our life begin to come against us, amen, when it begins to press us down to a place, we can look unto Jesus. Amen, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen, when life came against him, amen, when he was beat down, amen, when he was smote, amen, and when he was stricken, amen, they had to pull someone else out to carry his cross. Amen, it is not a shame. Amen, it's nothing to be afraid of. Amen, when we begin to carry something that's just too heavy for us, amen, and simply look at Jesus Christ, and he began to show us, amen, how it can be done with someone else's help. He will strengthen us, amen, to carry us through. If we'll just begin to have that plan and that desire for victory inside of our hearts and in our life. But it takes us being ready. It takes us planning. It takes us having a desire to endure. Find in the very end that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand throne of God. So when the battle gets too heavy, Jesus can reach over there, tug on the edge of God's coattail, and says, hey, think we could send Michael down or Gabriel? Don't you think we could send a word of the Lord? Send him a little bit of grace. Let him know your mercy endureth forever. Let them begin to realize that it's going to go out to all generations. That it's not going to stop, amen, at the one before. That it's not going to stop at this one, but it's going to keep going, amen, until you allow me to go back and collect, amen, your children. Amen, and begin to bring them into your house. Amen, if I could show us, if I had a board up here I could draw on. We're all in this life. Jesus Christ, if we draw a straight line, God knows the beginning and the end. He knows when the end is. He's not revealed it unto man. But we're on this curve. Same timeline. But it takes us a little longer to get there. I want to begin us to kind of realize this. He sees us in every point, and he's telling us, just hold on. Just keep holding on for victory. Get ready. There's coming a time, church. There's coming a day. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, everybody blink. Twinkle of an eye. Can you get ready in that amount of time? That's why it's important that we be ready. I try to stress it to these young boys every chance I get. Stay ready. Don't tell a little white lie. You know, I had a very interesting discussion with the boys. We was talking about foods. which ones they liked and which ones they didn't. Now, I don't like that. And I said, how do you know? Have you had it? Well, no. Well, how do you know you don't like it? Well, I just don't. You know, and it's stuff like that that we tell ourselves. We've got to be ready. Within an instant, the blink of an eye. Hey, amen. I've got to get back here and get finished up. Sister Lindsay, if you'll start thinking of a song. It says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in loss. Death is swallowed up in pleasure. What's it say? Death is swallowed up in victory. Victory has a key point in a Christian's life. Victory in prayer. Brother Larry talked about, you know, how he's prayed more now. He's gotten closer. We've got to be able to carry stuff to the Lord in prayer. When it comes to a point where you feel you cannot pray, don't pray. Read His Word. And when you read His Word, you will begin to pray. Never forget, and I'm going to keep reading these scriptures in just a moment. I just feel like I need to share this. I'll never forget going through a real hard struggle. Pastor, I didn't want to pray. I love the Lord. I know that He died for me, but I did not want to pray. And it wasn't that I felt that the ceilings were brass, because I know that He will hear my prayer. And I just opened up the Word of God and I started reading. I started in John, in the beginning. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. I didn't get no farther than that, Brother Larry. He was there in the beginning. And He's right here where I'm at right now. You know what I began to start doing? I started to utter a little bit of a prayer. Like, Lord, I know You're hearing Your Word. I know You're hearing this circumstance. Brother Matthew, thing it is, in order for there first of all to be a healing, there has to be what? An infirmity. That doctor that told you that, you get a chance to go back and see him. Hey, guess what? What that other doctor told me? It wasn't really true. Begin to share what God has done. Verse 55, thy sting, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who does our victory come from? It comes from Him. It's not our own works. It's not our righteousness. It's not our prayer life. It comes from Him. We are supposed to be Christ-like. This got brought up in Sunday school this morning, which was tremendous. But we have got to begin to tap into who He really is. And then we went into Sunday school, children's church, and Sister Lindsay, our memory verse for the kids, was talking about how God is a jealous God. Went down through those different things, and it just began to click with me more and more about how great a God that we serve. And it's in that relationship that we have with Christ that begins to come out inside of us, that begins to work, amen, out our Christianity, amen, begins to work it out afresh and new, day in and day out, and then all of a sudden it's just who we are. Amen. We don't have to provide our own righteousness because Christ's righteousness is working inside of us, because it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And next thing I know, amen, it's just coming out. It's spewing out of me everywhere I go. It's Jesus did this. Amen. He's doing something in my life. People say, why are you happy? I'm happy because Jesus loves me. Why does he love you? And then that begins to give us that opportunity to say, because he died on an old rugged tree. He carried my burdens. Amen. He sat there and suffered through my sorrows. He began to feel, amen, and feel the pain and anguish that was deserved upon me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye, amen, ye know that your labor is not in vain. The Lord coming into the house of God is not in vain. If we can begin to allow him to minister to our hearts and to our lives, it's not in vain when we come and we sit, amen, and we're here in pain. Because guess what, church? It's not in vain, because God can begin to minister, amen, to those needs. And when we come here with a broken heart, it's not in vain, because that's when God has the opportunity, amen, to mold things back together. When we come here, amen, and begin to experience what he has for us. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. On down in 1 John 5:12 it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I don't know about you, but I got Jesus on my side, which means I've got life. I don't know about you, but I'm planning for victory. Brother Larry, I'm planning. We come in this house. Amen. We come here and this whole front full of young boys. The Holy Ghost. I'm planning. Amen. For those victory moments that we don't even make it. Amen. Out of Sunday school. Amen, Sister Kathy, teaching the children of goodness, that all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes down in such a way that it begins to move in them little tender hearts and begins to bring forth that victory. Amen, we come out here, amen, and in church service and song service begins to, amen, we begin to think about what God has done, what he's going to do. And can't pass that, because Pastor, you can't even get up to preach, because the front is full of people that's worshiping God for what he's done. To the piano, Sister Lindsay. I long for those moments when we're back there in children's church and we're having our prayer time and the children just can't stop praying because of what God's speaking in their hearts. Brother Cisneros, I long for those moments when we have our prayer time with the Rangers over prayer requests, that the prayer doesn't stop. But what's going on, and we can't even have strangers because that they're planning on seeing God begin to move. As I begin to hear the quiver in their voice as they bring forth that prayer request sometimes. Sister Kathy, and you know it's amen. Just to play a song here tonight. Amen. I pray, church, tonight that you come up to this altar for victory. If you would stand, church. Dear Lord God, you see each and every one of our hearts, all of our lives, God. Pray, Lord, as we prepare ourselves, God, to come down to this altar. God, draw us. God, begin to show us, Lord, even in the time of a struggle, Lord, that we can begin to plan for victory. God, in this, Lord, in this house, I pray you to begin to pour out your Spirit. God, draw us. Right now, Lord, I pray. Come on, church. Let's